Can we, we're gonna get started. So this is our first in-person leadership meeting in 2 years, maybe? This is a long time coming, so it's great to see your faces. Many of you were at the Heart of E celebration last Friday, which was absolutely awesome to have our employees recognize, not just the Heart of E winner, but all of those quarterly winners too, to see how many that there really are in a year's time. So take advantage of our program to fill out cards, to send notices to HR when you see somebody doing something above and beyond, because it happens every day, but not everyone turns anything in. Or they think later, I should have recognized so-and-so for doing XYZ. So take advantage of that. We promoted it with the residents on Monday. I had a workshop with the building reps, and so I promoted it there yet again, because it's really meaningful when a resident actually takes time to send something about the staff. Sometimes I just get little quicket things like, you know, oh, the meal was great last night, or the service was great, but they don't necessarily go into a lot of detail. But when they fill out those cards, they tend to fill in all the little granular details. So we're promoting that with them as well. So with no further ado, I really want to get into the reason that we're here today and we have our guest speaker. But, you know, last month, how many on Zoom were there last month when Darcy spoke? How many of you? Most of you? Well, unfortunately, it was not recorded and you missed a really good one. So last month, the month of February, it was focused on yourself. And one of the things that I wrote down that I thought was very, you know, like we should all hear it, say it, repeat it, chant it. It was give yourself credit for the more that you've done. So we always overlook what we do and we say, you know, well, that's not important, right? And the other thing that I thought was really a great takeaway was, you know, the ability to give yourself permission to take care of yourself, and to give yourself timeouts when you need it. And what do I mean by timeout? Vacation. We give you lots of paid time off, PTO. And how many people, like myself, have a bank that's about ready to cap out, right? So give yourself permission to take care of yourself and put yourself first. You know, we work really hard every single day. Never closed. We're a 365-day-a-year business. We're 24 hours around the clock. Lots of responsibility that you all take very seriously, but I want you to realize that you need to take care of you. Because no one else, you know, not too many people are going to, like, nudge you and say, you know, it's time for you to refresh yourself. So give yourself permission to do that. The other really thing that I'll share before I turn the stage to Darcy is one of the things that a resident taught me many years ago, because this resident would often email me at night or on the weekend, and the resident, so I responded, and the resident said, time out, Ms. Smith, this is your time off. I email you because I don't want to forget. He's like, remember how old I am. I don't want to forget, but I never expect you to respond to me on your night or your weekend. And I want everybody to really kind of take that to heart. And we know what's an emergency. We know what needs our time and attention. But many things that clutter our time off or our time away from here aren't urgent. So give yourself permission to put boundaries around not working 24/7 when you really are supposed to be home focusing on yourself, your family. You know, family should always be number one. You know, your job is number two and it's a close second to number one because of what we do here, but your family should always be number one. And make sure you make your family a big priority in your life, because we only get one family. We only get one mom and dad, and not most of you know my mom and dad have passed away. And, you know, your children are the same. So you only get that opportunity for a short time in your life. So take care of your family, take care of you. And today we're going to learn how to lead others. So hopefully you took all that in February and you've been practicing it. And now we're going to focus today on, okay, now we got to shift a little bit and how are we going to lead others. So with no further ado, Darcy, you have the stage.
Thank you. It is amazing to see faces in person. And I want to say that if you feel like you want to be masked or want to be spread apart, you do you. You have absolute permission to take care of yourself. Same way with the edge people. Like if you're like feeling like you're looking at my back too much, which is not my best side, you are more than welcome to come over here and get yourself closer to the water and the strawberry cheesecake croissants. Is that what it was? Something like that. So if you would like to adjust your seat, please do at any time. I'm so honored that you took time today to be here, not just because I'm here, but because your colleagues are here. So would you just take 30 seconds and turn to somebody, maybe somebody you haven't seen for a while, and just say thank you for making time to be here today.
Thank you for making time to be here today.
I mean, it's so important that we recognize all of those little moments, all of those little choices that we all make to show up. You know, we vote with our feet, right? If we say, this is important to me, even if I think, well, I don't know what this person's going to tell me, it might be boring, but I might see somebody that I could help today, or that's going to be inspired by something I've done today. Now, as Penny said last time that we were on Zoom, we focused on kind of the core of everything, which is leading ourselves. What do we need to do for us to make sure that we can lead the people that we care about, including at work and at home and, you know, in the world, and be the person we want to be? And so if you weren't there and you have questions about that, I'll give you my email address. I'm happy to tell you a little bit, kind of go through what we talked about. But one of the core elements that I just want to remind you, if you were with me, you heard me talk about you only control three things. And as leaders, as managers, as people in charge, we forget this a lot of times because we're trying to get everything right. We're trying to get everything perfect. But you control only three things. Everything you think, everything you say, and everything you do. You know what? That's it. That's all. And so when we remember that we can be the most amazing leader we want to be, but, you know, if people aren't responding to us, if situations change for people, there's a lot of things that are out of our control. So, I'm curious, Penny actually kind of queued this up. I'm curious, right just at your tables, can we just take a minute to do something that we rarely do, which is brag on ourselves, which is be proud. Tell it something that you're proud of that you've done. Something that a choice you made, or maybe it's a choice you made to not do in the last month, is something that supported you or you took control. And you know what? If you can't think of anything, that's okay. But let's take some time at your tables. And if you are somebody who has trouble with kind of finding the good in things when the list of everything that's undone or broken is long, challenge yourself to find one thing that you did that was good, that you're proud of, or maybe that you chose not to. I have a whistle and I'm not afraid to use it, but if this was something that's hard for you, maybe partner with, you know, a friend, a colleague to say, hey, can you catch me in the things that I'm doing well, the things that I'm making choices to do that I should remember, because a lot of times all we remember is the stuff that doesn't get done, the stuff that's hard, the stuff that's broken. So. All right, So congratulations to you on that. You do more than what you think you do. Today we're focusing on leading others. And I know for some of you, I'm probably standing in the screen. You don't really need the screen. But if you feel like you want to move around, again, you always have permission to move around. Your chairs are on wheels, which is fun, so you can move anywhere. Talk about leading others.
Mariana, did you do this?
She's a furry friend.
This is a topic that we could spend years on. Well, we're not going to spend years on. We're going to dial into one key question that I want to leave you with and dig a little bit more in, give you some tools and ideas about this. And the question is this. When are you transactional as a leader versus when are you transformational as a leader? So let me tell you what I mean by both of these. So transactional, and if you would like to take screenshots, you're welcome, or I can send some things out after. But, you know, transactional is when we need to follow a process, when there's a structure, when there is a law, when there is, like, this is the only way we can do things. And in your business, there's a lot of that. There's food safety laws. There's medical procedures. There are things that we know that have to be transactional to keep people safe, to follow the rules and the law. But transformational leadership is a leadership that motivates and connects people, that connects them to more meaning. And that's about communication and cooperation. And around facilitating conversations, it's also around trust and focusing on the results, maybe less than the process. So transactional leadership is something that a lot of teams end up really falling into in a time of crisis, right? And I'm sure you think back in the past couple of years, there were times when you reverted to mom's old standard, do it because I said so. But there's a time to think about, how can we ramp up the volume on some of the ways that I might lead with a transformational focus, that I can build that commitment, that motivation, that I can be able to help people feel more connected, more engaged, even when we're still making sure they get the work done. So there's all, you know, a risk in both sides of these, because too much transactional leadership can actually create resistance, resentment. I don't want to do that just because you told me so. You know, lack of buy-in. Too much transformational leadership, too much, oh, I don't know, what do you think? Oh, let's co-create this together. Can create confusion, frustration, can create inequities. So there's not, one is not better than the other. The truth is that we've got to look at our own leadership, our own decisions that we're making, the style that we make, the choice we have, and have the blend of both in the situations that work for us. So today, this was a stat actually that I think is even illustrates, especially today, how important being able to not only execute the transactional leadership with excellence and perfection as you've done, but also to recognize that the transformational leadership, the connection for people to bigger things, meaning, commitment, actually has a business reason. And Gallup's recent research says it takes more than a 20% pay raise for someone to decide to move somewhere else, if the manager is engaging, if the manager is connecting with them, if the manager is helping them see how they make the difference, as opposed to a manager who is totally transactional, totally do it my way or the highway, where someone doesn't feel they're connected to the bigger purpose. And that, those people are getting coached all the time today, and you all know it, you've seen it. So there's a business reason for this too. So what I'm going to share with you today are some tools where you can consider, how do I turn up the volume when it's appropriate for my work on more transformational strategies as opposed to transactional strategies. There's no right, again, no right or wrong in this, and each of you have different people that you lead, you have different functions that you lead, you have different requirements in the work that you lead. But as we go through today, I'm gonna give you some more time to talk at tables, at maybe connecting with another table, and really to think about what are some situations where we can use some of the tools I'm gonna share with you to try things a little differently. So, the first one is to avoid the advice trap. Now you guys know how this goes, right? Chances are, most of the conversations that you have with your people, or maybe not even conversations, you know, maybe they're texts or emails, kind of has the theme of, I've got a problem. This is going on. I need help with this. I have to do this. There's usually a problem where you get involved. And because you're good at what you do, and many of you have grown from being the person who was there in that role to now a person leading the role, that you're gonna come up with an answer. You know what to do. And it's easy to just tell somebody, I'll just do this, this, and this. And then cross that off your list so that it doesn't take your time and your energy and that seems done. But when we do that too often, when we are always just the answer bank, what we end up doing is creating a transaction as opposed to opportunities where we might get a chance to stay in the moment of the question a little bit more and be more transformational. So here's how that would work. It is really so there's a book called The Advice Trap. It's by a friend of mine, Michael Bungay Stanger. There's a lot of things, there's a lot of videos and things on it, and also scripts about how you can avoid giving advice directly. But the core element of staying out of the advice trap is to stay in the question a little longer, to stay curious about what's being asked for just a moment longer. And this is tricky for us as leaders, right? Because we're busy. We want to get on with it. We've got all these other things and problems. Somehow, our people's problems don't seem to happen on a predictable schedule. I don't know about you. Maybe some of you can anticipate, oh, it's Tuesday at 10. You know, my person's going to call me with this problem. So staying in the question, what does that mean? So this is a list, and again, you're welcome to screenshot it, or I'm happy to send it to you. But when we stay in the question a little bit longer, we don't just accept the question at face value. We actually look for the opportunity to help the person figure it out themselves. What's the question behind the question? One of my favorites here is, what are you assuming is true? So if someone comes to you and they're like, hey, this is broken because this can't work and I need you to fix it. Let's take a step back. So what are you assuming is true here? And have them show you their mental model of how they're getting to the point where this is a problem. What this does is it allows you, first of all, to give them the satisfaction of taking the beat, of helping them figure out how do they get to the answer for themselves. And it's almost teaching them how to think through the issues, because a lot of times our assumptions aren't visible to us. I mean, you know, we're making assumptions all the time, but when someone says, well, tell me, like, just go through the assumptions behind that. Well, the assumptions are that this is broken and we'll never be able to do that, and this person will never be able to do that. Is that true? And sometimes just being able to talk through some of these problems a little more. I love the, when I work with manager groups, you know, often the, what's the help you need here? Does anybody ever get a question that they're not sure what the question really is? you know, it's just kind of vague. And sometimes someone just needs to vent. Sometimes someone just, once they start asking the question, they realize they've already figured it out by the process of going to you and asking the question. Sometimes it's helpful, and you can use this in your home life, too, for any of you who have, you know, people who are always asking you things, like, what is it that you need here? Do you need an answer, or do you just need permission, or do you just need to vent? You just need to talk. Sometimes putting the parameters around that, staying in the question a little more, helps you make sure that you're not just jumping to advice when that's not what's going to resonate with the person. When actually, you telling me what to do, even though I've asked for something, may actually frustrate me, may actually, you know, tick me off, that it's like, well, don't tell me what to do. So, well, you ask. I mean, this is how our brains work, right? Our brains get into this conundrum. So staying in the question a little longer. And this is uncomfortable in so many ways, right? If you're somebody who you've trained your people that they come to you, they get the answer. Come to you, get the answer. They don't have to work for it. They don't have to think about it. It's going to be a little uncomfortable when you say, that's interesting. If you were me, what would you tell you? Or say, oh, tell me your assumptions about that. Wait, I have to do work now? I mean, I have to actually think about something? But it's a great skill builder, and it's a great way for people to connect to bigger things that they're asking and that they're doing, and a way for you to teach without being directive. You teach through doing. But it is going to be uncomfortable, and this is where I call affirm the squirm, because discomfort is the only place that we grow. We don't grow if it's too comfortable. And many of you have known that, how much, you know, thinking about how much you've grown just in the past couple of years. We wish we weren't as uncomfortable as we've been, but boy, have we grown. So, at your table, or if you're at a small table and you feel comfortable, you know, some of the twos, maybe just, you know, rolling a little closer to some of the twos, I would love for you just to chat about what's the one situation where you might need to resist the advice trap. And you don't have to tell stories on anybody, or, you know, but, you know, just, you could talk generically, but maybe there is a particular situation where I'm always getting questions on this. And let your team brainstorm a little bit, but share, you know, your ideas. There's no right or wrong here. We're just kind of playing with some new ideas, putting the ideas in our mouth. Where is some place that you might need to resist just giving advice and instead stay in that question a little longer? Just going to take, again, just a couple of minutes. So if you're all by yourself over here, find a friend, have the conversation at your table, and just share some of your own stories. Yeah, you know, there's something really powerful in what, thank you, in what you said, because I'll often say we can't see the label from inside the jar, and we're so committed to our own points of view and our own makeup that when you, as a great leader, give somebody just that beat of putting, you know, putting them in the other shoes, like, so having them say, so if you're this person and this happens, walk me through what that feels like. You know, walk me through what you would do. And it can help them even bodily, even physically experience to say, oh, yeah, that would make me uncomfortable. I see what you're saying. Okay, I'll try something different. You know, these are all little techniques. There's no magic wand, unfortunately. There's nothing that I can douse you with and say, now you'll all be able to do this immediately. But it's a skill to be able to practice and try. And think, when those times of when people are coming that they just want the quick answer, can I stay in the question a moment longer to be able to create something that's better maybe for them and for you and connected to something bigger? So, okay, so the second piece is actually aligned to this. You know, everything that's transformational, you know, is connected to some of the bigger things about our work, but often we forget to connect our requests and tasks to something that means something to somebody else. So let me explain that. So how many times when you've told somebody, these are the tasks we need to do, you might get the why, or you might get the resistance, which is, the resistance is often a sign that people don't really understand the why. And here's a secret, that you make it look easy. You know too much. It's kind of like if you were telling somebody the alphabet, and you start at M, because A, B, C, D, E, everybody knows that. But if they don't know A, and you start talking about the thing at M, they've lost something. So this is especially true when we have new people, or if we're asking them to do something they haven't done before, where, you know, they may not fully understand the connection of what you're asking to something that's bigger and important. And they may not ask you. They may not tell you. In most cases, they won't tell you. You know, they'll just do the thing and, you know, that's just some, you know, whatever. That's how they do things here. But there's ways, you all know, there are ways how we take care of people a certain way, why we say things a certain way, why we serve in our dining rooms a certain way. A lot of people may not know that. So you can create more meaning by telling more of the story. The reason that we always do this when someone boards the bus is because we've had situations where this has happened. Oh, well, I get that. You know, there's a risk here. Or whatever it might be, but you can tell the story. And again, there's some lines on here I'm happy to send out, but this is important because, you know, this is tied to that thing we were talking about this. You know, this is an example of our commitment to do X. So a lot of times we just skip the story. We just get to X. But when you can tell the story, you can create more meaning and connection and get that, oh, I may not think that picking up somebody else's trash is important, but that's part of how we do things here to keep this a living space that, you know, feels comfortable and safe. And again, you guys know the stories, but we just cut ourselves off from telling them. And there's actually a secret when we're a leader that we forget sometimes, is that repetition is the mother of learning. And let me say that again, repetition is the mother of learning. You may say, well, I've said that already. But the more you are consistent in things you say, the themes that you're talking about, the stories you're telling, the more that creates trust. Because trust is the truth that people receive over time. And when they trust you, they trust the organization. And when they trust the organization, they stay and are engaged and are willing to take care of the things you need them to take care of. So we're not going to break into a group, but you might make a note or think for yourself, what's a situation where I may need to take a step back and tell more of a story? Maybe there's something on your list right now. It's like, why is this not going well? Do I need to put the team or the person, just take a step back and say, you know, I've noticed this isn't going very smooth. I just want to take a step back and share with you about why this was important in the first place. Tell them the story. And if you're not sure of the story, you're like, well, I don't know. Why are we doing this? That's a good clue, too. It's like, you can't connect the dots. Maybe it's something that's ripe to change. Maybe it's something we've gotten into a habit of doing that doesn't need to be that way anymore. So tell the story, connect to meaning, because when we make the decisions with our emotions and our heart, and then we tell ourselves it's in our brain, but you can connect to meaning in the story, people get it. They're like, oh yeah, that's why we're doing the thing. The final tool I want to give you, or an idea, and it echoes what we talked about in our first conversation that we had online a month ago, but it is a leadership strategy to lead others. It is to be able to take care of yourself. Now, you all know the old put your seatbelt on before you help other people, right? That model has been used ad nauseum. So I don't know if any of you are in aviation, but one of the reasons that that model exists in the first place, back to telling the story, is that losing cabin pressure, you could pass out within, it's a handful of seconds. And so if you help somebody else, a child, an older person, somebody who, and then you haven't helped yourself, you're not going to be available to help somebody else, to do the other things that matter. So this is why the airlines tell you, put your mask on yourself before you help others. They don't go into the whole story about, because when, you know, oxygen cuts, like, we need you. But this is why we have to take care of ourselves. And we mentioned this a little last time in the bias that we all have. There's a bias that we all have, and we think it's obvious to others what we need. We think it's obvious that, yes, I need you to step up so that I can feel comfortable on my day off, or I need you to stop texting me at 3 a.m, or I need you, whatever it is. But no, people can't see that unless we're clear about it. We're setting whatever boundaries we need to set for us, or we're asking for what we need. So this is a great time as you think about entering this new time, hopefully post-COVID. I'm knocking wood on this. But as you think about how do you want to be a leader in the new world of work, you can hit that reset button. You can be able to know that taking care of yourself isn't selfish. Actually, there's a business strategy for this too. Because when you are the hub, the person that nobody can live without, you're actually doing a disservice to the organization. Because the organization has to be able to see what life is without you to be able to know how it fills in the gaps. Because what if something major happened? What if you needed to leave? What if you won the lottery and you said, I'm moving to Tahiti? It's a business strategy to make sure that you and all your team take the time that they need. It's a preventive strategy for stress and burnout, which of course we all know. It builds your resilience, but in the end, it is something you are doing for others. It's not selfish that you're doing it for yourself. So if you're somebody who's like, I couldn't possibly take time off, what would happen here? You know what? If things fall apart when you're not here, that's good learning for your fellow leaders to say, well, then we've got to work on that. We've got to fix that problem. It's not that you're not needed. It's just that as an organization, we have to know that we can sustain no matter what. So let's just take another quick table chat before we wrap up. What's one thing you could do this month, between the next time we see each other, to take just a little bit better care of yourself? What's one thing? Talk with your neighbors just for 30 seconds.
I'm sure. Yay! Yeah, you don't need two houses. And when, I don't know, after we moved to Florida, Michael had a job that he left home on Mondays and came home on Friday nights.
And sometimes if you don't know, you're stuck.
You know, it's tough.
This is also a good thing to work on,
you know,
with the call.
You guys aren't even getting every weekend, you know, so, yeah.
Okay. We'll come back together.
That's a good one.
Now, I know that's good. This is good. We're talking about things we can do for ourselves. This is great. As we wrap up, I don't make any promises that any of this is easy, right? I'm not standing up in front of you saying, now you got everything, go change every way you lead and everything you do. No, you know it doesn't work like that. But I hope that what you'll do is take one thing that might have resonated in this conversation for you, whether that's staying, you know, getting out of the advice trap and just turning up the volume a little more to the transformational side, or if it's connecting the story more to the meaning, like not just saying this is what we need to do, but this is what we need to do so that this bigger thing happens, or because here's this bigger thing we all want, or something you're doing to take care of yourself so that you're going to be healthy, well, sane, happy, around for everybody else for the good work that you're doing. So, I hope that you try one little experiment. There's one little thing that you test out, that you try. Because we need you, right? The world needs you. You are heroes to each other, to those of us in the community that watch what you do, to your awesome community out here. We need you in our world of work, in our community. And I'm so appreciative that you took time for you today just to be here for each other as well as yourself. So next month, we're talking about leading leaders. How do we lead each other? How do we lead up? So I look forward to be back with you then. If you have questions for me, got my email here, darcy@redcaperevolution.com, or I'm infinitely Googleable. If you want some of those scripts or whatever, just reach out. We'll get those to you. And I am really appreciative of you taking the time here today. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you.